convictions. There's nothing like being in His presence. I was just sitting down here and I was thinking, you know, I remember before Allison got in her teenage years, it was just me and Glenna. She just wanted us. She wanted to be with us. She wanted to be around us all the time. And then as she began to meet other people and all kind of things come, and sports and everything else come into her life, that it seemed like, you know, she was being pulled away from us. We knew she loved us. We sure loved her. But that time that we used to have together, that intimate time, it was always being pulled and drug away because of other things and people and all this stuff. And I honestly believe there's a lot of you that's in this room today, this morning, that you're there, right there. You're the one that all these things, all these distractions is pulling you away from His presence. And it's been so long since you've been in His presence. And His presence is here right now. And He just wants to love on you and wants you to love on Him. He knows you love Him, but you've been pulled and distracted and just gone away, all these different things. And so I just want you to take a moment right now just to be in His presence. Don't think about anything else. Don't listen to anything else. Just be focused on Him. Spend your time with Him in His presence right now. The presence of the Lord is in this room. His presence is here. Just soak it in. No distractions. Nothing's pulling on you. You're right where you need to be. You're in the exact place that Holy Spirit wants you to be right now.
I just wanna see.
It's awesome to be in corporate worship, your presence just fall. Lord, help us not to forget this, that you want to spend time with us as individuals, Lord. I pray, God, that we'd be hungry for your presence. Exactly what you'd have me to do. And God, may you have clarity in this room. May every single person in this room and every person that's listening have the ears, the spiritual ears, to hear what you are saying. And when we leave out of here, may we say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. May we be able to say that I've learned something today that's going to help me. I give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Said amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Such a sweet presence of the Lord in this place. Amen. We've been talking about in Jeremiah, where the Lord told Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house. It's in chapter 18. We're not going to read all that. But I've read it a couple of times. But in Jeremiah chapter 18, the Lord told Jeremiah to go to the potter's house. And as he went there, he saw the potter working on this vessel. And this vessel was marred in his hands, meaning it was messed up. And so he began to remold it again. And basically what he was saying is, you know, Israel's messed up right now, but I can do something with it. And then, you know, I've studied this out several times, and I begin to look at it again. And there's at least seven different vessels mentioned in the Word of God. And I'm going to go over a few of them today. But these vessels, you're one of these vessels. You're one of these vessels. The Bible talks about us being vessels of the Lord and how we have of this treasure hidden in earthen vessels, which is what we are. So you're a vessel, but what kind of vessel are you? Because I promise you, you may not find yourself in this one today. I pray that you do, but if you don't, You need to definitely come back as we talk about these seven vessels. And so I want you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I want you to go down to verse 19. The first vessel that we're going to talk about is a vessel of honor. I want you to look at this in verse 19, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. He said, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Or let everyone that, in my words, let everyone that calls himself a Christian, let everyone that says that they identify with Christ, amen, he said, let them flee from iniquity. Let them flee from sin. Let them flee from evil. It should not be named once among you, it says in another place. So verse 20 says this, "But in a great house," or in a large house, "there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth." Now listen to this, "and some to honor and some to dishonor. Some are used for honorable things and some are used for dishonorable things." But verse 21 says this, "But if a man or woman therefore purge himself or cleanse himself from these," what? "These evil things, these sinful things. If we will cleanse ourselves from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor." You'll be a vessel of honor, used of honor, "sanctified," which means set apart, "and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Now, vessel of honor, some of you can go back and study this later. You can find it. There's all kind of stuff that people's wrote about and stuff. But a vessel of honor was a 5-gallon container. And almost every house and every temple, church, every temple had one of these vessels in it. It was the most purchased vessel. It was the most used vessel and the most sought after vessel. Now, this vessel was put out at the door. So if you was at your house, you'd put this vessel of honor out of your house. And every day you would replenish it or refill it with fresh water. Everybody say fresh water. Let me tell you something. You need fresh water. You don't need to be stale and stagnant. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Some of you are there now. Some of you are stale. I'm going to go to it. Some of you are a little stale. You've been hurt and you've got some things going on. You don't need to be that way. We need fresh water every morning. And so they would take this pot and they would refill it every morning. Do you know that in John chapter 4, the woman at the well, that's the kind of vessel that she had. That's the kind of pot that she carried. And when Jesus looked at her and said, "Hey, I need some water." And she's like, "Who are you, a Jew and a Samaritan, to give you water?" And what he going to say, "I'm going to give you living water." A vessel of honor is one that has living water in it. So what does it mean for someone in the church to be a vessel of honor? I told you, you're one of these vessels. I'm going to talk about probably 4 vessels today. Someone in the church that is a vessel of honor is someone that is available to be used. They just want to be used by God. They spend time with the Lord every day. And they refill themselves with the presence of the Lord. A big problem in the church today is a lot of people, the only time they read their word, the only time they pray, the only time they get in the presence of the Lord is when you come to church. Thank you. I needed that. That's an honorable thing to bring me some water because this vessel is thirsty. Amen. So this vessel of honor in the church is someone that doesn't have to be out front. You know, a lot of people, let's just be honest, a lot of people won't do anything unless they get recognition for it. A lot of people won't serve or help unless their name's attached to it or unless, "Oh, I know we ain't got any new vision like that." But I'm just telling you. But to be a vessel of honor, it's to be one that you refresh yourself every day with the Lord in the presence of the Lord. And then you are willing to give everything you have to replenish others. See, this vessel was set outside the door. So when a visitor came to your house, that visitor could go. First thing they could do is get some fresh water because it is hot. And they'd walk probably a long way maybe. And they could get fresh water, but another thing that they could do is they could wipe their feet off. They could wash their feet off and wash their hands off, and they could get clean. So a vessel of honor in the church is one that's willing to help people get clean. Oh, help me, Jesus. It ain't easy being discipling. It ain't easy discipling people, helping people to get clean, helping people to get free. But a vessel of honor will do that. Why? Because a vessel of honor, all it wants to be done to itself is to be used for God's glory, not for their own glory. So if you're a vessel of honor this morning, we've got vessels of honor in here. I commend you and I thank you for being a vessel of honor, for being used, because a vessel of honor is the one that is used the most in the church. Amen? In the church. Now, I want you to go to Romans chapter 9, verse 23. Are y'all good this morning? I'm just getting started good. In Romans chapter 9, verse 23, we're going to talk about a vessel of mercy. A vessel of mercy. In verse 23, it says this, "And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory." Is this thing popping, or is it just me? I feel like it. Huh? Okay. So if that don't work, I'll get something else. But a vessel of mercy was prepared for the glory. A vessel of mercy is the same thing as a vessel of honor, except the same pot, the vessel of honor, became a vessel of mercy when it was put out into the city for strangers to come and get water from it. A vessel of mercy had to be available, had to be readily available, had to be in a place out front to where when a visitor come through town that had been walking a long way, that was hot, was thirsty, that vessel of honor, as it would quench people's thirst, so this vessel of mercy would quench strangers' thirst as they would come walking through the town. Or if they come into the temple to visit the temple, there was a vessel of mercy set out front where everybody could see it, readily used to help other people. A vessel of mercy was like Jesus. Jesus was a vessel of mercy. Jesus showed compassion to everybody. Jesus loved everybody. Jesus tried to help everybody. A vessel of mercy in the church, they're easily recognized. And we have vessels of mercy in this church. They're willing to help anybody. They don't just pick and choose who they love and who they talk to. They don't just talk to the people that's got money. They don't talk to the people that's in their clique. They talk to everybody. They make themselves readily available to everybody. And they also refill themselves and refresh themselves every day in the Lord so that they can be used for His glory. A vessel of mercy is very important. See, the vessel of honor will help those in the church, in the house, but a vessel of mercy helps those outside. Oh, do I even go there? Some of you, you might be comfortable inside the church helping, and that's good. But we also got to have people that go outside the church, go outside the four walls, that make themselves available for anybody. Amen? Vessel of mercy is very special and is very needed. And Jesus was the prime example of a vessel of mercy. Same vessel as honor, but put out front so everybody can use it. The vessel of honor was in the church and in the temple where just those visitors came in and used it. Amen? So I want you to go to Acts chapter 9, verse 15. Just right over to your left a little bit. We're going to talk about a chosen vessel. We have a vessel of honor, we have a vessel of mercy, and now we're going to talk about a chosen vessel. Go down to verse 15 in chapter 9. "But the Lord said unto him," he's talking to Ananias. Ananias had been shown by the Lord that he's supposed to go and find Paul, and he's saying, or Saul at the time, he's saying, "Lord, this guy persecuted the church and did all this crazy stuff. Surely I'm not supposed to go to him." And verse 15, he says, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me." We all know the stories. We've read the Bible, but Ananias hadn't read the Bible. He didn't know what was going on. He just knew what he saw. He saw Paul killing people, or Saul killing people. So he's sitting there, and he's like, what in the world? So he says, I want you to go to him because he's a chosen vessel. Listen to what it says. To bear my name before the Gentiles, the kings, and the children of Israel. Verse 16. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, I'll show you something. Ananias was used as a vessel of mercy for Saul. Ananias was used as a vessel of mercy for a chosen vessel. See, I got to be real careful here because some of you are going to think, well, if you ain't a chosen vessel, you ain't nothing. Not everybody's a chosen vessel. Not everybody has a specific thing. Everybody has something God's called us to do, but there's some things that God will pull people out and set them up for such a time as this to speak life or to do whatever, like Paul did to the Gentiles, Peter did to the Jews. You know, you got some people that were chosen vessels, and there's chosen vessels in the church. And the thing about this chosen vessel is it was set apart. So this is what a chosen vessel was. The potter would take that chosen vessel, and he had to spend more time with it. He spent a lot more time with the chosen vessel than he did just an honorable vessel or vessel of honor or vessel of mercy. He spent more time on it, and it had colors. It was very beautiful, and it took him a lot of time to fix it up and to do the things he did. But you know what he did? After he finished with that vessel, he would take that vessel and put it on a back shelf for 4 years. It was not to be used, not to be touched, and that chosen vessel was the only vessel that a potter would put his full name on. All the other vessels that he made, he would mark it. But on this chosen vessel, on this special vessel, the one he spent so much time on, that one right there, he put his full name on. And that's what he said about Paul. He said, I'm going to mark him with my name. And see, we don't understand stuff like that. We don't understand culture, but Ananias knew what the culture was, and he knew that when the potter marked something, it was special. Now, in the church, there are people that are called to be chosen vessels. In this church, God has called you to do a specific thing. But the problem is, you know it, but you want it now. You know that you're supposed to be doing something, and you ain't willing to sit over there for 4 years to wait on it. So that's why some of you are like me. You might not sit there 4 years. You might sit there 22 years. You say, what are you talking about? I waited 22 years before I was humble enough to walk in what God called me to do. When God spoke to me after 22 years of being a Christian, and he said, if you don't humble yourself and serve others like leadership, keep your mouth shut, not speak up about everything you think you got to speak up about, not think you know more than everybody else, until you humble yourself and submit to others, nobody will ever submit to you. And I had to learn, which is a very hard lesson. And that's why it took me 22 years, and some of you are on that journey, to keep my mouth shut in certain times. That I don't know more than the pastor. That I don't know more than the leadership. And that sometimes you got to keep your mouth shut and pray, because God's got you back here wanting to do something with you, and you worried about what everybody else is doing instead of letting the potter do you. Oh, boy, it got real quiet in here. Amen? It's the truth. It's the truth. God has chosen some of you to do a certain thing, and you don't want to stay on the back bench, on the back shelf, long enough until the potter brings you out. That potter would wait until it was time, and then he would go get that vessel off the shelf and bring it out and sell it. And it said that when he sold it, he knew that that vessel would never ever bring him shame. Wow. Chosen vessel. There are not a lot of chosen vessels. If you're a chosen vessel, man, that's awesome. I mean, you're no better than anybody else. You're not. God's not a respecter of persons. But it means that you've got a certain call. And another thing that happens is people try to walk in a calling that's not theirs. Sometimes they don't mean to do that. It's not that they're doing it on purpose and they're just trying to do something. Sometimes we get into an area to where we ain't supposed to be. I've had people come to the prison ministry and I knew right off the bat, this ain't for you. You're chosen to do something else. But a lot of times people want to jump from here to here to here to here to here to here to here and not stay where God's called them to stay. Am I making any sense this morning? A chosen vessel is valuable. Very valuable. But many miss the call of God on their life. And many miss the perfect plan that God had for their life. Because they don't want to be patient and wait on the potter to say it's time. I'm going to say this again. I've said it before. Man can exalt you. Man can exalt you. Man can give you a position. Man can do whatever. But if it's not the position that God's given you, then don't stay in it. Don't take it. Let God exalt you. That goes for me or anybody in here. If you want to be a chosen vessel, let God choose what He's chosen you to do, not you. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to Isaiah 66. Let me finish reading this. Hold on one second. Verse 17. I wanted to read these couple verses because I want to show you about Ananias. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house. He was a vessel of mercy. And he put his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Do you know what Ananias was doing when the Lord spoke to him and used him as a vessel of mercy to Saul? Do you know what he was doing? He was praying. You know why sometimes we miss opportunities to be vessels of mercy? Because we ain't listening, we ain't praying, and we ain't able to hear the word of the Lord say, go to this person, go help this person, go do this. Amen? But this is what happened. He said that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Boy, if ever we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost and fire, it's now. Jonathan, on our way out there, you know, I was real quiet on the way out. We was in pitch dark, 5 o'clock in the morning. We got in a boat like a bunch of dummies, 5 o'clock in the morning, going 75 miles out in the ocean. No lights, nothing but a GPS showing us a line to follow. How dumb is that? Waves pretty high at the time. But the whole way out there, I had such peace. Because if I said Jesus one time, I said it 150 times. I was just like, Jesus, Lord, I need you. Anything inside of me, get it out. I had such a peaceful ride out. Now, on the way in, I thought I was riding a Brahma bull the whole way in. 6-foot waves took us 4.5 hours to get back in. We were done. My arm still hurts. My legs hurt. My thighs, I cramp up. I'm a dummy. But I had fun. You know, somebody told me one time, I believe it was John Wayne's the one that come up to it with it. He said, if you're going to be stupid, you better be tough. Amen. And then he says this, and immediately there fell from his eyes, if it had been scales, and received sight forthwith, and arose and went and was baptized. And when he had received meat, when he had something to eat, he'd been fasting, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples when he was in Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Go to Isaiah 66:20. Isaiah 66:20. We're going to talk about a clean vessel. If I had to pick one of these four and to pick out which one that I felt like most of our church was right now, or most people were, it'd be this one right here. Be a clean vessel. He said, man, clean sounds good. Well, let me get into what a clean vessel is, okay? Let's read verse 20. And they shall bring all of your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of the nations upon horses and chariots and in litters and upon mules and upon swift beasts to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says the Lord. As the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. Now, this is what a clean vessel was. A clean vessel was a vessel of honor before it became a clean vessel. And what happened to this clean vessel is while it was a vessel of honor, it was used all the time. Matter of fact, it was used so much that the lip would begin to crack. The handles might crack. The side of it, the paint started chipping and everything. It was used so much that it got to where it wasn't good for anything but carrying grain. Y'all following me? It was a vessel of honor. It was used to have clean, purified water in it every day, but it got used so much it got beat up. What happens in the church? We have people sitting in this room right now. Now, y'all listen to me. You can get mad if you want, but I'm going to be honest because I felt it. We have people in this room right now that when the presence of the Lord was moving, when the altars, people were coming to the altars, you were sitting up back there saying, why don't I feel anything? You want me to tell you why you don't feel anything? Because you're a clean vessel. You have been hurt in the church. You've been hurt. You've got walls built up. Your spout has been chipped. The pouring, you can't pour because when you pour, it goes everywhere. And you know what they have to do with that vessel? Four times a year, the priest will take those vessels that has been used so much in the temple, and they will bring it back to the potter, and the potter will take this real stiff brush and start scrubbing it until it gets all the gunk off of it. Some of you got a bunch of church gunk on you. Matter of fact, John Kilpatrick prayed for me at Pensacola during the revival. I got slain in the spirit. And right before I got slain in the spirit, he prayed over me and he knocked the buzzards off of me. Some of you got buzzards on you. Some of you at one time was a vessel of honor and God was using you like crazy and you was enjoying it. But now that you've got your feelings hurt and you've got mad at somebody and somebody ain't doing something you don't like, the church ain't doing this, this ain't doing it, this person ain't talking to me, this person's mean to me, whatever you want to put in there. Now you got a bunch of church gunk on you and you're not good for what God wants you to be good for. But the awesome thing is this. That potter would take that and start cleaning it up. And he even put a new lip on it. See, some of you, your lips crack. You run your mouth too much. You don't know when to shut up. You talk about things you don't know what you're talking about. And you speak out putrid all over everybody. Oh, yeah, I said it. But the good thing is, I've done it. That ain't a good thing, but the good thing is that even when I've done it, God forgave me and God brought me back in and he put me on that wheel and this is what happens. He scrubs you up and it don't feel good. See what sometimes God has to do to some of us is he's got to show us our filthiness and our miserableness before we can get our junk back together. And he's got to take and scrub us and scrub us and scrub us and mold us and fix our lip and fix the little cracks that's all in us, get us all straightened out. And then guess what he does? He's a real good God. He throws you back into the fire. See, some of you don't want to go back into the fire. Some of you in this room right now, you've been hurt. You've been hurt at this church or another church, and you're just going to sit back there and you just want to be comfortable in your chair. You don't want to do anything because every time you do anything, you get hurt. Somebody does something you don't like. Somebody says something you don't like. You can't please nobody, so you're going to sit back there and you're going to be a clean vessel with a big old cracked lip. Come on. And never be satisfied with anybody else doing anything because you don't want to do it, but you could do it better. Help me, Jesus. I'm preaching today. Glenda says, yeah, hallelujah. We want you to be vessels of honor. We want you to be used for whatever God wants you to be used for. I don't want you just to be a crack pop, just carrying weed in and out every now and again. I want you to be used to your full potential. And God wants you to be used of your full potential. He wants you to go back. Those of you that are like that, see, some of you, boy, I was picking with Jonah the other day. Me and Jennifer was down there, and Jonah was running his mouth to her a little bit, just like all kids do. But I started getting on to him a little bit and picking at him, and boy, that old lip went all the way down to Georgia. And that's what some of you are right now. Your lips hanging out so far. You're so mad at me right now. He's doing it hurt me. Well, if I hurt you, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'm human just like you are. I make mistakes just like you do. But some of you need to go back into the fire. Some of you need to get back up, wipe yourself off, and go on. Start serving the Lord again. Some of you ain't served the Lord in a long time. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Some of you ain't served the Lord in a long time. Some of you sit back, I shall not be moved. You come to church, you pay your tithes, you're a good member, but you don't serve. If you ain't serving, you ain't serving Jesus. Find something to do. We're trying to find you something to do. But that clean vessel can be restored, put back into the fire, and brought back to its original state. We've been there, haven't we? The worst hurt I ever had in my life wasn't on the street with my drug buddies. It wasn't. It wasn't even really with my family. My family's hurt me, but it was my church family. It was the people that, and the word says it. It was the one that I went back and forth to church with, the one that I fellowship with. That's the one that's hurt me more than anybody else. And I've had to go back into the fire a bunch of times because of some of you. You say, well, I didn't do it. No, you didn't do it, but you allowed somebody else to do it, and you didn't say anything about it. You're just as guilty. Oh, it's Pastor Appreciation Month. I can preach like this. Some of you let people run their mouth about me. You don't do it, but you let them run their mouth about me. You are just as guilty as they are. And if you ain't got enough guts to say, hey, you don't need to be doing that, if you went to him and talked to him, do you know the true story? Do you know the whole story? If you ain't got enough guts to do that, then guess what? You're just as wrong as anybody else. Amen? So help us, Lord. Help me. Help you. I want to be a vessel of honor. I want to be a vessel of mercy. I believe at certain times God can use you for whatever he wants to. The potter said he makes it the way he wants to, and he can bring you back in and shape you and make you something else. So those of you, you know you got a call of God on your life, don't give up on it. He's not forgot you. He has not forgot you. But maybe you hadn't learned exactly what you need to learn. And some of that's probably just being quiet. Amen? Being still, know that he's God. You see something that is sinful, or you deal with it. You see something you just don't like, or you think you can do better, you pray about it. And if you got we talked about this Saturday. If you got a great idea, praise God. Come with us with a great idea. But if you got a great idea, you better be willing to give birth to it in prayer. I ain't birthing it. I didn't give all the birth I can give just about. Why y'all looking at me like that? Y'all know what spiritual birth is, don't you? I'm trying to birth revival and bring a move of God. I need some help. I can't think of everything and do everything. You know, can I just go ahead and say this since it's Pastor Appreciation Month? You know what the word says that I'm supposed to be doing? I'm supposed to be praying and studying. I ain't supposed to be birthing all this stuff that's going on. I ain't supposed to be over everything that goes on in this church. There's a lot of dictators. I ain't a dictator. I don't want to be a dictator. I need some help. Oh, we got some cracked lips in here. They ain't saying nothing now. Amen. Pray, pray, pray that God would do what he wants to do in this church. If there's people in positions that ain't supposed to be in or whatever, including me, then you pray that God will move. Because it ain't about making somebody happy. It ain't about making somebody feel good. It's about who does God want doing what, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it. Amen? Y'all good? Okay, stand with me. Next week I got three more I'm going to talk about. I'll probably go back through these just a little bit. I wrote me a couple notes in here. You've been hurt. You feel neglected. You've been beat up. You've been used. And I wrote right here, welcome to the ministry. You say, I'm not in the ministry. Yeah, you are. If you're a Christian, you're in the ministry. You're in the ministry of loving people others don't love, reaching people others don't want to reach, equipping the saints to do the work of the gospel. You're in the ministry. And if you don't know it, you better know it now. And what was it that Ananias told Saul? He didn't say, Saul, I'm going to tell you about the 13 books of the Bible you're going to write. He didn't say, Saul, I'm going to tell you about the young man that's going to fall out sleeping when you was preaching up to 1 o'clock in the morning. And you raised him from the dead through the power of God. He didn't tell him that. He said, you go tell him the things he's going to suffer from me. If you ever want to be a chosen vessel, you're going to suffer. Period. You're going to get hurt in church, out of church. But it's worth it. Amen? It's worth it. Let's pray. Father, I love you and I honor you this morning. I honor your word. I thank you for these four vessels that we've learned about today. And God, I thank you that every one of them have great qualities, but every one of them has to go through the fire. And every one of them, according to your word, is molded and shaped by the potter, which is you. And you get to make us and shape us and call us to do what you want us to do. Help us to walk in our calling, not to try to walk in anybody else's calling. Help us to do what you've called us to do and not do what anybody else tells us to do. But God, help us to serve, to love, to be available, to be used for your glory, not for our glory, not even for this church's glory. May you receive every bit of glory that comes from any of us, Lord. Lord, if there's those in here this morning that don't know you, and they just don't know you, God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would save them, that you would deliver them, and that you would heal them, and that we would give them living water. Lord, if there's some in here that you know, they've been hurt and they just feel like they're not good for anything anymore, they are. You will restore them back to their original state, and you'll make them better than they've ever been. God, those that are chosen vessels, Lord, that you've got something specifically for them to do, God, may they be setting kind of like a backup quarterback. He don't get to run the plays with the starting lineup a lot of times, but he's sitting back there and he's running plays with the second string. And when that starting quarterback gets hurt, the second string quarterback's got to go in and know what's going on and be ready. May your people be ready. They're sitting there waiting. May they be prepared and occupy until you call their number, until you say, hey, this is what I want you to do. May they support others and pray for others while they're waiting on you to show them what their marching orders are. But I love you, God, and I thank you. If you're in here this morning and you don't know Jesus, if you don't have a right relationship with him, if he would not look at you today and say, well done, my good and faithful servant, then I beg of you to call out on the name of the Lord, ask him to forgive you of your sins and come into your heart, and then follow him with all of your heart. You may be a Saul Paul conversion. There's no telling what he can do in your life. Father, I love you and I honor you this morning. And I ask you to bless your people as they go. I ask you to help them to be a blessing. I pray for vessels of honor and vessels of mercy. God, I pray for chosen vessels. And I even pray for clean vessels, Lord, that they would be restored and renewed. We give you praise, glory, and honor for everything that you've done. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Love you guys. God bless you. And I'll see you Monday. Men, Monday night. Monday night. Start cooking at 5. We're going to eat at 6. We got a guest speaker coming. It's going to be good. I want all of our men to show up. If you haven't been coming, come on, show up. And then we'll see you Wednesday night at church. God bless you.